Father, I just thank you for your anointing that destroys every yoke. I thank you for being in our midst, Father. I thank you, Father God, for the heavy hearts that are here, because I know you have that heart, the very palms of your hand, bringing peace and restoration. I thank you, God, for being so real to us. I thank you, Father, that we are able to come up into your throne room at any given time and sup with you. I thank you, Father God, that you're alive. I thank you, Father God, that you are full of grace and mercy. And Father, as your children sit in this place this night, I'm asking you that you finish the work that you started in their life. And Father God, start bringing their promises to pass, because your promises are yes and they are amen. And Father, I thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm just hearing God say, the time is growing short, and I have a great works to do in this land. I have chosen each one of you to do a special work in my kingdom. I have chosen you by my grace, and I'm asking you to work at fulfilling your destiny. Yes, the enemy has come, and yes, the enemy has torn, and he has ripped apart. But am I not God, and can I not put back together anything that the enemy has destroyed? I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, and in me all things are possible. It is your doubt that is stopping the blessings. It is your wavering that is keeping me from fulfilling my promises I'm giving to you. I know it looks dark around about you, but did I not tell you in the past that these days were coming? And did I not tell you to build up your most holy faith? My children, this is the day and the hour that I was speaking about. Now you must surely turn your back upon the world, and you must look up into my eyes and never take your gaze off of mine. For I am with you, I am for you, and I'm not against you, and I will fulfill all my promises to you if you can only believe. I am not going to justify anything I've spoken to you, because all my words are yes and they are amen. Sometimes you short circuit the words I give to you, because you do walk in doubt and unbelief. You do waver. You don't speak anything, but in your mind is thinking it. Your mind is mulling it over. And that's just as bad. I know what's in your heart. And I'm asking you to walk in total and complete faith. Thank you, Father. So anyhow, God told me a month ago it was time I start teaching on faith. And I got a sermon together about faith, but then we're going to do the number one. Then I was reading a sermon, it wasn't a sermon, it's a prophetic word that Chuck Pierce got in their last Sunday meeting. It said, last Sunday morning during our first fruit celebration, the Spirit of the Lord moved so powerfully. Here is some of the prophetic revelation released at that time, which will help you move forward in this month. Help you move forward. Truly, I am a God who has not forgotten your labor of love in this past season. For surely I have seen your works, I have seen your persistence, and I have seen your faith when you believed me, when there was nothing to believe in the natural. Now I step you into a new place. In this season, it shall not be by the heavy labor and by the persistence of doing what you know to do, where there is nothing in the natural. For I shall begin to manifest, and I shall cause you to begin to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. For I am going to come upon you, and I am going to open doors for you. I shall cause you to step into that which shall be even as the children of Israel, when they crossed into my promise and they received crops that they did not plant. They received that which they did not labor for in that new season. This is a season when you shall see the goodness of the Lord. I shall cause even the new place of joy and release to come forth when you see that I am taking off of you the yoke of the past season. In this season you shall celebrate the goodness of the Lord. For I shall even surprise you at my goodness and my faithfulness. So know I have seen the labor of the past season. Know I have seen the persistence and the faith. And know that I have not forgotten your works of goodness. Now step into a new season and receive that for which you did not labor. There was four or five people that prophesied all this, and they just put it together, all right? Stand in faith for your region. I've heard your groaning from the earth. I hear the sound, and it's coming into my ears. There is a sound from earth that wants to join the heavenly host. I'm about to loose over your region a heavenly host such as this region has not seen before. As you cry out, I will answer from heaven, and I will send. Stand in faith for your region. Stand in faith for this state. I have heard your crying out, and I'm about to loose the host that will do war on your behalf. I am networking faith, and I am connecting. I am networking faith, and I am connecting. Gather yourselves in troops, O daughters of Zion. Prepare for a gathering of faith. There is a faith troop this hour that I will release. It's a new thing that you have not previously seen. So gather your faith into troops, O daughter of Zion. One can put 1,000, two can put 10,000 to flight. Gather your faith into troops, O daughter of Zion. For some will work and others will war. This is a day of finding your place, for I am repositioning my troops. Heaven is beginning to go before you. Therefore, I am calling you into new levels of unions and alignments. I am putting you in place, and even though some of you have been on the shelf, you're coming in. And even though some of you have been lost, you're being found. This is a time of my gathering. Hear the gathering of heaven, excuse me, and you will begin to find your path and align yourself in a new way. For I will have a faith explosion, a manifested glory faith explosion is now coming into the earth. Get the doors ready. For in this week, many doors that you have not used will be used. Many of you will have to clean the doors and others will have to remove the hinges of the door. For once you get the door ready, then many will come. Many that have been seeking refuge will find the refuge that you carry inside. So get the doors ready, clean them up, dust them off, and remove the hinges. Hear my voice in this week and get the doors ready for my kingdom to come in a brand new way. They are waiting for you to get ready, so get the doors ready now. That could mean two things. That could mean the doors of your church, or that could mean the doors of your heart. All right? Wherever you are, you have a sound in this hour. Whoever you are, you have a sound in this hour that will dispel all darkness. Wherever you are, you have a sound in this hour. Whoever you are, you have a sound in this hour that will dispel all darkness. It will empty the enemy of its power. Every plot, every plan will be destroyed. I am opening up the highways in the heavens. I am opening the freeways in the heavens. Set your feet in these places because I will move you quickly now on that road. You've been in a whole lot of traffic jams when the traffic's moving slowly. But I would come up to those highways and you will go, 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 go. I will accelerate. As you move in faith, as you hear me, you respond, I will accelerate you in the heavenly ways, the highways. You will look down and see the traffic clogs, but you will not be in them because I have called you higher. I have opened up a door. I have opened up a portal. When you go from point A to point B, come up first through the portal. Now he says, I have opened up a door. I have opened up a portal. When you go from point A to point B, come up first through the portal. I can show you the way through the traffic jams you're in. I have alternate routes for you. I have the ability to even form a new highway above where you are. Watch me this week, for when things get jammed up, you will see your way through and into the route I have for you. It is a realm of faith. It is a supernatural realm, and you have wondered why have my feet not been in the right places. I say it's because you haven't been walking in heavenly places as I called you to. So come up into a supernatural realm where there is no sweat on your brow. Many wars will be won with worship from your mouth, so come into this realm now. You know, as I was reading that, I thought about Paul and how God called him to minister to the people. And God said he would take care of him, but he was in jail more than he was out of jail. But he didn't grumble and complain. He wasn't in there cursing God. He wasn't sitting around all down in the molly grubs. He was praising the Lord. He was praising the Lord. And see, we have not yet learned to praise the Lord while we're in the middle of the battle. We're still sitting around moping over what God has not done, according to our perspective. But what has he been telling us? I'm working behind the scenes. I'm doing things that you know not of. So until you get your joy going, and you know, until you can rejoice in the midst of your battle, God can't move for you. So you're going to have to get your joy going and rejoice when everything looks bad. Let's talk about Joseph. Look at Joseph. He was a mighty man of God, called of God, but he spent his time in prison. He had to do his prison stint. And everybody was looking at Joseph. But Joseph wasn't in there complaining. Joseph was in there doing the deeds of the Father. And then one day God took him out of prison. And look how God exalted him. And God is trying to do the very same thing to the body of Christ. You might think you're in a prison cell, and some of the body of Christ is. But if you're in there while you're in the prison cell, still doing the work for the Father and not doing it begrudgingly, one day God's going to exalt you, and you're going to be doing great and mighty exploits for the Lord. We have to learn to smile in the midst of our tribulations. You might grumble a little bit to the Lord, but then, you know, then you need to get up out of that grumbling bed, and you need to get on your feet, and you need to start praising him. Everybody in this room can say that some of the promises God has given me has not yet come to pass. There's not a one of us sitting here that can't say that. So you're not the only one in the boat. You're not the only one out there lost in the seas somewhere. Like God told me one day, daughter, you're not the only one in the boat, so quit complaining. That was a year ago he told me that. So I've learned to quit complaining, because God is at work and he's going to do what he wants to do when he wants to do it. He doesn't care how hard you complain. And he's just waiting for you to straighten up and get things right. And then he's going to give you your blessings. Come on. All right, now my teaching for tonight is faith and seeing the unseen. John 10:10, Jesus came so we could enjoy life and not just a little. He came so we could have life in abundance to the full till it overflows. Jesus has done his part. Now it's up to us to do our part and receive all the good he has in store for us. You know, Tamika and Chris's wedding, no, Catherine and Chris's wedding, I had a chance to witness to somebody about that. And I say, why do you allow everybody else to dictate how you're going to act? Why can't you, no matter what they're doing, why can't you just be happy and sit here and be content and with everybody else at the table? Why does one person have to destroy your night? You know? Why do we do that? We allow one person to destroy our everyday activities. You know, they're acting like a fool, so you think you have to get upset about it. You know, and you don't. You really don't. If they want to act like a fool, let them be a fool. You do not have to be a fool along with them. We're supposed to have the joy of the Lord 24/7. If you can't, go to the mountain and pray. Isn't that what Jesus did? When things got rough, he went to the mountain. He left everybody. He went and prayed. And I'm not being sarcastic. I mean it. When things are getting to you, that's the time you need to go and get on your knees before the Father and tell him, hey, this is how I'm feeling. Then blast him really good with your feelings, because he already knows. And then get your release. And get your joy going. Amen. Well, it's all right for you to go ahead and say all that because you have everything. No, nobody has everything. Everybody in this room has a problem of some sort. And you know, and we're all trying to do the same thing that we're teaching. We're all trying to get to where God's telling us to go, and we're trying to do it with the joy of the Lord. you know, God said, some of you do not want me to manifest myself to you right now. You would not like me, he's saying. Come on. And faith is the key to receiving. It takes faith to bring things from the unseen realm of the spirit into the seen realm, the here and now. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I'm just going to have to bring Brother Brett and Sister Nancy in this as an example. How long you've been married? 2 years. God promised him this great big house and all this other good stuff, you know, and all their needs met. And they're sitting here in this church. It's run down and breaking down more every day. And every time it rains, they have to go down and shovel water for 3-4 hours. And, you know, and this is not, God did not promise them that. So they've learned not to complain. Whenever they call them, they say, well, it's just a little bit of water, ankle deep, that's all. We'll get it cleaned up. It's okay. It's no problem. Everything down there is getting all wet, though, but that's all right. It'll dry out. You know, and then they go down there, and, you know, and they're tired. But they're down there. They don't call and say, can you please send reinforcements so somebody else can help us suck up this water? Nope. They just go ahead and do what's... They used to complain, but they learned, hey, we need to quit complaining or we're never going to get our home. So, you know... You're living in a house that doesn't have a roof that leaks. You're living in a house that, has sump pumps in it like I do. You have 7 sump pumps in a basement so it gathers all the water up and it comes in and I don't have to suck it up anymore. You know, so you should be rejoicing. At least you don't have the problems they're facing. Oh, I'm sleeping. I'm getting wet. The roof started leaking. So we got to get a bucket. This is what they go through up there because we have a bad roof. Come on, they're not living in heaven up there. But they don't complain about it. They're having faith that God, as they learn to live in this situation, then God's going to give them their home. And they want it real quickly, so they're learning real quickly to be like Paul and rejoice. And I'm serious, this is the way it goes, you know. Look at them, they're all smiling, and she's prophesying, and he's prophesying, and he's casting out devils, and in the meantime, he has to live like this, with 7 children, 8th one on the way. Oh, she didn't know that. You know, where are you going to put all these kids? He's going to hang them in the boats in the ceiling, they float around in the water, right? Come on. You think you have a bad, you just look at somebody else and find out how they're really living. They have it worse than you do. Back to the teaching. Whether we need a physical healing, a loved one's salvation, more finances, a sound mind, or anything else, we receive it one way, and that's by faith. God told me, what, 5 years ago, I know at least, he said, daughter, from this moment on, your walk with me is going to be a total, complete faith walk. And he knows what he's saying because it's been a total, complete faith walk. And this is where you guys are going to have to be. You're going to start having a total, complete faith walk from this night forward if you haven't done that so far. You already know faith comes by hearing the word of God. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If you don't know what God has promised in his word, you don't have any basis for faith. So you need to read your word. You need to sit down and study. Don't wait till you go to church Wednesdays and Sundays, you know, and have somebody tell you. You get in your word and you read your word and you find out what the word says for yourself. In order to bring the unseen, what you are believing for, into the seen realm, you must receive what God says in his word. Believe it and apply it to yourself personally. In order to bring the unseen, what you are believing for, into the seen realm, you must receive what God says in his word. Believe it and apply it to yourself personally. That's mine, you say. I receive it. That's how some of you would do it. That's mine. I receive it. You don't really believe it. That's mine in the name of Jesus, and I receive it right now in Jesus' mighty name. And then don't let any devil in hell take it from you. The spirit of faith creates. The scripture tells us God created the universe in the same way by using words of faith and power. Hebrews 11:3 says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. He spoke things into existence. And somebody said, well, that was God. He is God of this universe. He created. But you were supposed to be have the same power and authority that God has, right? Then what did God do? He spoke it into existence. Then you need to start speaking it into existence if you don't have it. Now, don't be praying for somebody else's wife. Don't be praying for somebody else's car or home. You pray for what God told you you were going to have. God said what he desired. God said what he desired and believed it before he saw it manifest. What he wants, when he wants something done, God doesn't just think about it. And that's been our problem. We think about it all the time. He doesn't complain about it either. He says it by faith, believing that what he says will come to pass. You might say, well, God already knew it was going to come to pass. He still said it. He just didn't dare sit there and stare into blank space and expect it to happen. He still spoke it, right? So why can't you believe it's going to happen before it does? When I was first born again in 1977, I read the word where it said, any believer can go out and cast out devils, heal the sick, and raise the dead. And I went out and did that. I just went and did it because that's what the word said. And everybody told me I was crazy. All the pastors said, you've gone crazy. You need to sit down and you just need to behave yourself. That didn't faze me any. I went and did what the word of God said. And it worked. It worked. And see, that's what God did. I was just a child of God, but I read it and I knew it was going to happen, so I just used it. Come on, guys. Notice that creation, God didn't say anything about how dark it was. No, God said, let there be light, and there was light. So I wrote down Genesis 1:1-5. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. He probably didn't have a flashlight at that time, right? So he wanted to see where he was going. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. We are supposed to have the same authority that Jesus Christ had. And Jesus got his authority from the Father. So we are the same as Jesus. And so all we need to do is get the authority from the Father, which we already have, and we are supposed to be using it. God started his teaching last Sunday. God believes and he speaks. He says and then he sees. God believes and he speaks. He says and then he sees. God himself calls things which be not as though they were. Even if it's dark, and he said, I want light. When he speaks, his words are alive and energized and effective. See, when we speak, our words are not energized and they are not effective. We say, well, you know, I hope I get my new car, and if God really thinks I'm worthy of it. And see, that we shouldn't do that. Hebrews 4:12 tells us there is power in his words to cause whatever he says to come to pass. You and I create a victorious life here on earth the same way God created and framed the worlds. You know, Sister Carol Ann, you know, came here. She sold everything she had. She left everything in Florida. And she said to me after 4 weeks, well, if I'm not going to be used by God, then me selling everything and leaving Florida and leaving everything behind was for naught. Well, that little bird, she just spoke some dumb words, right? No, God told her to do this, and God had a plan and a purpose for her life, and now she knows what it is. So it took 5 weeks, so big deal. Big whoop, you know? But it happened. She now knows what, and she's working at doing what God wants her to do. And see, that's the way we are. Well, I left everything behind for you, Lord, and but nothing's happening. Well, I don't care if you waited 4 years. I've been waiting 15 or 20. But it's still going to happen. See, and so Carol Ann and the rest of you have fallen into the place where God is going to do things quickly. It's not, he doesn't have time to wait 10 years. It's going to happen quickly. So the people that he's now calling into their positions are going to get stuff quickly. And we're going to stand there and say, really now, God? No, we aren't going to do that, are we? We're going to say, praise God that you worked on their behalf and you gave them what you promised them quickly. So what did we do? We're forerunners. We paved the road for those who are receiving things quickly. In fact, we have the same spirit of faith God does. It is imparted to us when we are born again. When I was born again, I had that faith. I could just move any mountain. Come on. And to bring his promises from the unseen realm into the seen realm. We must not only believe, but we also must speak his word, just as he does in 2 Corinthians 4:13. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. First, faith must be stored up in our hearts by constantly taking in the word through our eyes and ears. Then, as we meditate on those promises and they become more and more real to us, the spirit of faith within us becomes bold enough to speak that word in power. When that happens, the words by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed, creates healing. Now, I have to bring up Reverend Carol Ann again, because over the years, you know, she moved to Florida. She was here for, you know, in this area first, and then she moved to Florida. But she kept calling me, Pastor Barbara, Pastor Barbara. So I prophesy and prophesy and prophesy. And she has those prophetic words. She read them over and over and over again. And that's what kept her going. And now, today, she's seeing those words come to pass. And that was 15 years ago when God started speaking all those words to her. So it really took her 15 years to receive what she has today. Are you understanding that? But what she did, what I'm getting at, is she read the prophetic words over and over and over. She even told me she had some of them framed. But over and over and over, and kept them in her spirit. And, you know, kept even she was going through really, really bad times. But she kept all those promises that God gave her, and now they're here. Because she learned early on to keep them before her eyes. And to get them into her spirit. And the devil, no matter what he was doing to her, and it was a lot he was doing to her, but he could not steal away what she had stored in her spirit, man. Where am I at? I want you to know that no matter what your situation is or how serious it looks, that situation can change. That situation can change if you'll hear what God says about it and put his promise in your heart and in your mouth until all doubt is crowded out. Be transformed inside out. Believe, say, and see it by faith. Be transformed inside and out. Believe, say, and see it by faith. That's what it takes to live a life of victory on earth. He's been teaching that here lately, hasn't he? Just being born again doesn't guarantee you a victorious life. Well, I'm born again, everything great's going to happen. No, that's not true. You are instantly transformed on the inside when you receive Jesus as your Savior, and you will go to heaven eventually if you stay right. But for your outer life to be transformed, your mind has to be renewed and retrained with the Word of God. Recently, I noticed when God's been prophesying to people, he said, I'm going to wipe out your mind the way it is, and I'm going to give you the mind of Christ. In other words, he's going to transform your mind so it's like thinks like the mind of Christ. Instead of the dumb thinking that we do. Romans 12:2 commands, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The thing that renews your mind, which is in your soul, is finding out what God says about something and coming into agreement with it. Now I'm going to use Sister Faye as an example. She's been having a bad marriage struggle for a good 15 years. And so she would call me and crying and going boo-hooing, you know, and God would speak to her. And then she called Brother Chris when she couldn't get a hold of me. And she would be boo-hooing, you know, and he would prophesy to her. And then one time she called me and God said, your marriage, again, your marriage is going to be fine. And he's going to be the man of God you want him to be. But you know, just the opposite was happening. Then she called Brother Chris. And Brother Chris said, go get a divorce. She said, I'm not going to do that. She said, you know, that he sort of prophesied that to her. Well, she didn't get her divorce. But she's here tonight for the first time in a long time because she hasn't had transportation. But God wanted you here to hear this word. You keep that word. He said that man was going to be a man of God. He's going to preach the word. And I know he is. And he's going to be everything God promised you. I don't care what you see or what's going on. And, you know, if a lot of you women was in her shoes, you would have shucked him in a river somewhere. But she's still hanging on, still believing what God has to say. Are you listening? And see, this is when God's going to be able to move in her life now, because this is the year he's going to do those types of things. And marriages that look like they're just totally, and he tells her every time he talks to her, I don't even want to see you. I don't want to live with you. I don't love you. And she just keeps, I love you. I love you. She keeps going back, I love you, because she knows what God has said. It's not what the devil's saying through him. is what God has promised her that she's standing on. Are we listening here tonight? Don't agree with the world that insists you could never have that. Don't say that's too good to be true. If you refuse to receive the word of God, you are hardening your heart, just like the children of Israel did when they refused to believe God when he told them to take the promised land. God's been telling us, cross over the Jordan, get into the promised land. And Hebrews 3:15 warns us, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. In other words, don't harden your heart like the Israelite children did. Believe what God's telling you and just sit still and let his salvation work things out on your behalf. Unbelief kept the Israelites out of a land that seemed just too good to be true. Unbelief can also keep us out of our promised land. God told me years ago, daughter, he said, I'm gonna wipe out your candle if you don't get out your doubt and unbelief. Your candlestick. And I know what that means. He meant my ministry. He's going to take my ministry from me if I didn't get out of doubt and unbelief. I very quickly got out of doubt and unbelief. And I'm not going back there again. All right, so I said, unbelief can also keep us out of our promised land. So retrain your soul, your mind how to think, your will, what to choose, and your emotions. So retrain your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. Retrain them to think the way God spoke to you. Make them come into line to agree with the word of God. And make your words agree with the word. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so in Psalm 107:2. Saying so is faith. I don't care what you say, Mom and Dad. I know what God told me. You know? The victory and freedom you walk in depend on how much of the word goes in your eyes and ears on a continual basis. Continual basis. And you have to mix faith with that word. Hebrews 4:2 says of the Israelites that the message they heard did not benefit them because it was not mixed with faith. God can prophesy to you, you're blue in the face, or he's blue in the face, and if you don't mix faith with that and believe that God's going to do what he said he's going to do, it's never going to come to pass. And remember, it kept them out. You can listen to tapes day and night, but until you mix faith with that word, until you get it in your heart and believe it and put it in your mouth, it won't profit you. How many of you had a prophetic word and it didn't come to pass, and then you say, I don't want it now. And then it doesn't happen. You say, God, I really do want that to happen. And God finally said, well, you make up your mind. When you make up your mind, I'll do what you ask me to do. In other words, do you want it or don't you want it? If you don't want it, I won't get it. If you want it, I'll get it for you. He said that to me one time, too. See, I have emotions just like you do, and I go off the deep end every now and then, a whole lot every now and then, too. Amen. According to Romans 10:8, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach. Faith has to be in two places, in your heart and in your mouth. If you're speaking negative words of doubt and unbelief, you have a heart problem. Matthew 12:34 says, for out of the fullness, the overflow, the superabundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. How many of you, since we've been hearing about what we speak, when you say something, you say, gee, I am really messed up. I just heard, I had to watch what I say, and here I said something dumb again. You know? And again. And again. And you think, Lord, and you say, God, how long are you going to put up with me doing this? Your future is literally stored up in your heart. Make sure it's full of the word. Faith comes by hearing the word, and faith goes by saying the word. You release your faith in words that come from your heart. What you say is what you are calling into your life. What you say is what you're calling into your life. Holy Spirit power. Now, apart from being born again and renewing your mind to the word, nothing can change your life more than being filled with the Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit swept into this atmosphere in a new way. Instead of hovering over the face of the deep and waiting for God to speak as he did at the time of creation, he came to indwell God's children. See, it's the Holy Spirit within you when you speak those words of faith that causes things to happen. And then the Holy Spirit in you, when you start speaking doubt, he just sort of sits there and said, okay, keep on talking. Because nothing's going to happen because of your doubt and your unbelief. So when believers would speak the word of God, the power in that word would cause itself to come to pass. That's not his only function, though. The Holy Spirit also teaches us, guides us, and gives us revelation of all the good God has in store for us. 1 Corinthians 2:9-10. Eye hath not seen, and I've heard God say this so many times to people, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. You know, there was a great faith movement when I was first born again in 77, and wonderful things were happening to God's people. But then we got some negative preachers on the scene that said that we were a bunch of maniacs, you know, and dim-witted and everything else. And then people stopped believing the faith message, and they went into just whatever. They didn't believe anything. And they weren't receiving. Now God is saying, I want the faith message preached again so that my people can be built up in faith so they can receive the things that I want to give them freely. All right? So now we have to start building up our faith all over again. The faith that other pastors, the faith that the devil stole from us, and the only reason why he stole it from us is because we allowed it. We're going to take the blame where it belongs, right with us. We didn't have to step out of no faith movement, did we? We could have stayed in that faith walk. You say, well, I didn't step out of it. I know a lot of words that you spoke. Yes, you did. Come on. We can be empowered by the infilling of the Holy Spirit. He will reveal the unseen things God has for us and teach us to talk faith. That's important because our words give either God or the devil authority to move in our lives. You and I decide who's going to move in our life. We cannot be talkers of problems unless we want to be like the world and join them in their problems. We cannot be talkers of problems unless we want to be like the world and join them in their problems. We can talk the problem and keep the problem, or we can talk the answer, the word of God, and have the answer. It's our choice. In the name of Jesus, we can take authority over adverse situations in our lives and see them change. We've been empowered by the Holy Spirit and the words of God himself to do just that. It's up to you and I what we speak. It's up to you and I what we believe. It's up to you and I what we give in to. And I'm telling you right now, if God's given you a promise 15 years ago, because all those promises he gave 15 years ago are coming to pass right now, I would hang on to that like you wouldn't believe. I just hang on to that, just knowing that, and I'm serious, knowing that God is going to bring that thing to pass. You can let the indwelling Holy Spirit teach you how to speak into the atmosphere words that will change things. Remember, God told us, talked to us Sunday and said we need to decree and declare things now? Isn't that what he said? Decree them and declare them and watch them and believe and watch them come to pass. We need to become like little children. You can be spirit-filled but not know anything about the word, and you can't figure out why nothing is happening. It was like when the Holy Spirit was hovering over the face of the deep. Before God spoke, nothing was happening. You really don't know how to turn your faith loose. You don't even know what to believe. And you have a lot to learn. When you're first born again, you don't know anything. I didn't know nothing. You know, I just was going to church before I was born again. Then once I was born again, all of a sudden I realized God speaks to me, and God wants me to do signs, wonders, and miracles, and he wants me to go out there and heal the sick and raise the dead and all that stuff, you know. And then all of a sudden I got all excited like a little kid does when he's in a candy store, and I just started doing everything God told me in my word that I could do. And because the old other people were never doing those things, then they kept putting me down and putting me down and putting me down. So I started to question myself, am I really supposed to be doing this? I mean, it took a few years for them to get me to that point, but they did get me to that point. And then I got so when I pray for people, I would say, in the name of Jesus, you're healed. And I would think, is he really going to heal them? You know, that's where if you listen to people, they will take your faith totally away from you. But I want you to be like a little child tonight. Believe every word you read in the word and just go forth and do it. Don't worry about what man's going to say to you or how they're going to put you down. Who cares? You know, it's God that you have to answer to, not man or woman. You just need to trust God and just do what he tells you in the word to do. All right, so you have a lot to learn, and you have to become like little children and allow the Holy Spirit to teach you. See, when I was first born again, I wanted to go away to Bible school like everybody does, and God said, oh, no. No, the Holy Spirit's going to teach you everything, and he did. So everything I know, I've been taught by the Holy Spirit, and I'm so glad he taught me, and I'm so glad I went full man's doctrine. Colossians 3:23 sums up your life at this time. Before this faith came, we were held prisoners by the law, locked up until faith should be revealed. A lot of churches won't even teach you about faith. They won't even, you know, they want to keep your faith locked up so they can control you. Well, you don't want to control anybody. You want the Holy Spirit to be the one in charge. You don't know what the Word of God said, so you can't believe for anything. You are locked up in lack and unbelief with no future and hope and no hope. When I was first born again, the first thing that God had me do was to listen to Kenneth Hagin Sr. and his faith messages. And then, you know, I went and did his courses he had through the mail. And faith really, really got built up in me, really strong. Then I listened to Kenneth Copeland, you know, and he was a wild man, you know. And he would tell how things happened in his life, and it was all because of faith. And, you know, and as I was going on and God was using me and I was reading that stuff and listening to these guys, I mean, I just felt like crazy like they were. Whatever they needed, they just believed and they received it. Come on. You learn this same faith. But after you begin hearing the word of God, you learn that faith comes by hearing, believing, and saying the word. You learn this same faith makes you overcomers. Then you begin to change your words. Even though you don't understand it all, don't harden your hearts or argue with the truth. Just take what you learned and begin to walk in it. Little by little, your lives will begin to change for the better. Finding out what God said so you could receive his promises must become serious for you. You hear what I just said? Finding out what God said so you could receive his promises must become serious for you. You have to believe what he said to you. God's told me a few things. I really don't want them to come to pass. And every now and then I argue with him about it. I said, oh, God, please don't do that. But you know what? I'm still going to do it. I don't care how much you argue. I'm going to do it. And so even though I want him to do something different, he's going to do what he says. You know? So we have to let God be God, but I'm going to tell you right now, he wants us, you know, we need to start thinking outside the box. You know, he told me, I'm a big God and you think little. I want you to start thinking big. So I want you guys tonight, I want you to start thinking big. God is a big God and he wants you to have more than enough. I'm not speaking no money prosperity thing, but I'm saying that in your life, he wants you to have more than enough. He told us that. He said, I want you to have enough for yourself and then have an overflow of abundance to give into other people's lives. Come on. All right, I said, finding out what God said so you could receive his promises must become serious for you, and you must stay serious. You can't be serious one day and then be in doubt and unbelief. And that you have to stay serious. Whatever we see in the Word, we believe it and receive it. And you know what the devil will do? He'll have you're thinking about faith, and he'll have you look and see something negative to happen to somebody that was walking in faith. He said, see what happened to them because they had faith? Well, yeah, I see what happened to them. God was making them stronger, and God was making them mighty men and women of valor that he could write about and that we could look up to. Come on. Everybody in here is going to go through adverse situations. I don't care who you are. So whatever we see in the world, we believe it and receive it. We don't say that's too good to be true. We don't harden our hearts. We just take it by faith now, not sometime in the future. Faith is now, Hebrews 11:1. The eye of faith sees the unseen. The eye of faith sees the unseen. I had a dream the other night. And it's in the natural, it's impossible for that to happen. Well, it was about my two grandsons. It's impossible to happen, but they were standing in my home laughing and talking to me. And the reason why I had that dream, I know, is because God showed me I've been having faith that God's going to bring them back home, and I think it's been 9 years since the father took them. But God showed me they're going to stand in your home, because God said they're going to come back to your home when they got taken. They're going to come back here into your home. Don't give their bedroom up. So I've saved their bedroom for 9 years, and then I had a vision the other night. They were standing in there talking. See, I didn't lose faith in that. I didn't know why God was sending them back into my home and instead of in their mother's home, but maybe she won't be living where she lives. Maybe she'll be living with me. I don't know. But I do know that God showed me, and they were laughing. They were very happy. See, God will show you what he's going to do in your life. If you need something from God, you have to stand in faith on the word of God. Hold on to the promise. What, remember I taught you about the unjust judge last week, Sunday? How she kept going, and God said we're supposed to contend with him. And that's what we need to contend. This is what you said, God, and this is what I do too. This is what you said, God. Now I want you to do it because you said you were going to do it. It's not something I'm looking at. It's not something I said. Just like whenever he told me to start a church. And if things weren't going right, I said, all right, God, it's your church. I didn't want it. You told me to start it, and you told me you'd keep it, so you better get some money in here this month, because it's not my church, it's yours, and in comes the money. You know what I'm saying? Faith keeps this church open. All right, if you need something from God, you have to stand in faith on the word of God. Hold on to the promise. Believe it until it manifests. Boy, am I ever talking about the new building right now to God. I know I'm worrying him. Where's that new building, Lord? This thing's falling apart all around about us. You'll have lots of opportunity to be moved by what you see, what you hear. But don't. Instead, be moved by what you believe. What you believe will take over the seen realm. The unseen will swallow up the seen. Are you listening to me, guys? Come on. Some of you say, God, are you ever going to set my mind free? Yes, he is. The devil's just tormenting you, trying to believe he's not going to do that. Yes, he is going to set you totally free. So I said, when I took Kenneth E. Hagin's course on faith, he taught that the eye of faith is what looks at the unseen realm. The eye of faith is the eye of believing the word of God. In the time between when you believe you receive a promise from the word and the time it manifests in your life, keep looking at what the word says, not at the circumstances. Walk by faith, not by sight. Don't focus on afflictions or lack. If you're believing for a new car, don't focus on the old jalopy that won't start. Faith lives in the promise. 2 Corinthians 4:18, so look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. When you have a pain in your body, see it through the word, which says, Jesus bore your pain, and with his stripes you are healed. That's Isaiah 53:4-5. You just have to walk around. I don't care how much the devil's plaguing your body. And Larry and I do this all the time. Devil, you're a liar in the name of Jesus. My body is healed by the stripes of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And you're leaving my body. You're not going to stay in my body. Because by his stripes we're healed. Amen. And he'll make the pain even worse. I'm not receiving his pain. I'm not receiving his cancer. I'm not receiving anything. In the name of Jesus, I'm healed. He healed me one time. He'll heal me every time. Amen. You walk healed by believing and speaking the word about healing. You walk healed by believing and speaking the word about healing. By putting it in your heart and letting it become bigger than any sickness. You put it in your heart and letting it become bigger than any sickness. Through the eye of faith, see yourself healed and whole and then say so. Through the eye of faith, see your marriage back together whole. Through the eye of faith, see yourself in a home. Through the eye of faith, see yourself with money in your pocket, not being a beggar out on the street. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? No matter what you need today, find a promise from God's word and believe it. Walk by faith and not by sight. The faith message is going to come on the scene. You watch and see other people are going to start talking about the faith message. It's going to come on the scene, saints of God, because God knows that the enemy has stolen our faith totally and completely. And God's wanting to restore faith so he can give us what he wants to give us. Now, do you want to walk in prosperity or do you want to walk in lack? Oh, that's just what God said. That's totally up to you which way you walk. God will let you walk whichever way you want. If you want to walk in prosperity, he'll let you walk in prosperity. If you want to walk in lack, then he won't be able to prosper you. If you want your marriage made whole, then he'll make it whole. But if you want to look at all the circumstances and whine and moan and groan about it. Remember the story about the, it was a movie star and he had, this man left his wife. They were both movie stars. And he left his wife and married somebody else. And she, in the meantime, had gotten born again. And they told her to believe, quit looking at circumstances. And he was married, you know, somebody else. Quit looking at the circumstances and believe. And so for, I think, two or three, I know it was at least two. It might have been 3 years. Every time that she made a meal, she made it, set him a plate too. And would sit down at the table and talk to him while she ate. She never once mentioned that he was out married to somebody else and there was somebody else. She just kept saying, God, I know that you told me my marriage is going to be made whole. It's going to be made whole. And then after the 2 or 3 years, she got a telephone call from her husband. And he said, I would like to come over and talk to you. He'd gotten born again and they got back together again and they were just as happy as two bugs in a rug. Even though for at least two years, he was married to another woman living in her house. He didn't want nothing to do with her. But because God told her that her marriage was going to be put back together, she did not look at the circumstances. She believed God. So what are we going to do here, guys? Are we going to believe and receive, or are we going to walk in doubt and unbelief and lack in every area of our life? It's totally up to each person in this room. I can't make you walk by faith. You can't make me walk by faith. But you can make yourself. Could you turn this air conditioner off? No matter how much they're saying, I'm not cold, they're cold. You see, you have to believe even God's word in order to receive it. So can you please believe God's word tonight that he wants you to receive every blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? He wants you to walk under the umbrella of peace and love. He wants to restore your marriages. He wants to restore your faith. He wants to restore your faith first. Then he wants to restore your marriages. He wants to restore families back to wholeness. He wants to do all those things, but it's up to us whether or not he can do it. What do you want is the question. We already know what God wants. What do you want? So when you make up your mind what you want and you let God know, then that's what he's going to do for you. But once you make up your mind what you want and you tell God, you can't go back and look at the circumstances. You can never look at the circumstances. You always have to look to the author and finisher.